exam period is over now, and I hope that it was kind to you, for those of you at uni or school who had exams. I preferred papers, frankly. I've always preferred writing an essay than sitting a written exam. But everybody's different. And yet, there was this strange relationship I discovered in my time at university and at school, a strange relationship between preparation and final result. I don't know whether you've discovered this yourselves, but I found that when I put energy and effort into preparation, strangely, the result was better than if I didn't. Can anyone relate to that? I don't know. See, the thing is, exams can be incredibly intimidating. You feel sometimes that no matter how hard I study, no matter how far in advance I prepare, I'm just going to do badly. It's just going to go wrong. And yet, if you kind of clear your head and you go, all right, I'm going to come up with a study plan here. I'm going to review the course material. I'm going to get my head around it, do the readings. I'm going to come up with a little mind map of the subject matter or whatever it is. Funnily enough, you pass most of the time, possibly even do really well. And on the other hand, when you didn't do anything about it, you left it till the night before and you crammed, you know, sometimes you got away with it, sometimes. More often than not, you know what? Maybe you passed, but not that well. Preparation. The importance of preparation. Perhaps even just using an academic illustration has made some people feel ill this close to exams. Fair enough. It's the same on the sporting field. The principle's the same. You can't guarantee a win at your next footy match, at your next soccer match or netball game, but you can put yourself in a winning position. You can be prepared. You can turn up to training. You can train well. You can discipline yourself for that, and you can put yourself in the best possible position. And it tends to be that the teams who do that do well. Well, this is the final in our Fruitfulness on the Frontline series. We've looked at modelling godly character on the front lines that God calls us to, work, university, home, the local community, whatever it might be. We've looked at making good work, actually valuing the work that we do, and understanding that God values our work. In fact, our work is part of God's work in the world. He has a plan for us through our work. We've looked at ministering grace and love to others on our front lines. We've looked at moulding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and finally tonight, being a messenger of the gospel. And if you're visiting tonight or you've missed some of these series, there is a free study guide that you can download. You can access that from our church website. There are also videos online that you can just get an overview of each one of these topics if you've missed one. But I want to pick up on just a few of those words just read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. Notice that Peter doesn't just say, when people ask you questions about your faith, give an answer. He assumes that it's a little bit more challenging than that, and so he introduces this important aspect of preparation. Always be prepared. And I'm going to focus tonight on being prepared to be a messenger of the gospel on our front lines, because I suspect that for most of us, I know this is certainly true for me, actually sharing our faith with others is the hardest part of living as a Christian in the world. We know that as Christians we are called to serve the world through the way that we live, by our character, by doing our work well, by showing love to others, by standing up for justice. And those things are hard enough. But we also know that Christianity is not first and foremost a lifestyle, it's a message. It's an announcement. It's a news flash, if you like, about what God has done to put the world right, to save us from God's perfect and holy anger against our sin, against our rejection of him, and to restore our relationship with him and renew the world. The gospel, the good news, Christianity is founded on an announcement. And if that's true, then sharing that announcement, that news flash, is a tremendous priority and privilege. But this is one of the hardest challenges we face. I don't have to tell you that Australian culture is not very religious. In fact, it never really has been. It can be extremely awkward to talk about religion at all in polite society. It's even harder to admit that we ourselves are religious in the sense of being Christians. Even harder to say, you know what, I'd like to share what I believe and I'd like you to consider the truthfulness of it for yourself. You know, as I was preparing this, I was reflecting on the fact that it's hard enough for Christians to actually talk about their faith even to each other, even when they're at church. You ever notice where the conversation tends to go out in the foyer after the service? We do this funny thing, don't we? It's all the small talk. How's your week? Not bad. Pretty cold today, isn't it? Yep. What are you doing for the holidays? Not much. How do your exams go? All right. Maybe a bit more of a conversationalist than that. But you see, we tend to do this. It's actually just part of our culture. We tend to keep things at the surface. And even when Christians get together, even when they get together to do church stuff, it's hard to get the conversation beyond the surface. So let's be honest about the difficulty that we have about sharing our faith on our front lines, not only because of our own personal insecurities, but also because of the challenges of living in a secular culture, in a secular world. But let's think about these words by Peter. Always be prepared, he says. Like a student sitting in an exam or an athlete contemplating their next competition, he says, don't get overwhelmed with the task ahead. Don't get overwhelmed with the question of whether we'll succeed or whether we'll fail. Let's just focus on preparation. Mark Green makes this observation in the book, Fruitfulness on the Frontline, in his own experience. And he says the following. It's a curious thing. After I was taught how to share the story of how I became a Christian in under 5 minutes without using any Christian jargon, I seem to have a lot of opportunities to do just that. I don't suppose I ever told it the same way, and I'm sure that when I tell it, I tailor it to the person I'm talking to. But the preparation helped enormously. Similarly, once I had learned how to share a simple gospel presentation, it was rather extraordinary how much more often I seemed to get an opportunity to use it, or parts of it, in a conversation. The more tools you have, the more opportunities seem to present themselves. Preparation not only enables us to take opportunities, it helps us to see them. But that doesn't mean that opportunities don't come unless we are really well prepared. They do. And so he's making a clear point there. Preparation means increased opportunity, generally speaking. And now God doesn't require us to be at a certain level of preparation before he'll use us. But the better prepared we are, the more opportunity we'll see, generally speaking. So here are three areas then of preparation for us to consider tonight. The first one is prayer. The second is showing an interest in others. And the third one is actually sharing. So first of all, prayer. If anyone was a confident and gifted evangelist, that would have been the Apostle Paul. And yet when we read his letters, we find he was constantly asking people to pray for his work, that God would make him powerful in sharing the good news and bringing others to faith. What kind of prayers did Paul want people to pray for him? Well, here is an overview. First, that when speaking to others, he'd make the gospel message clear. That's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 4. Second, that he would be fearless in speaking the gospel, that he'd be bold and he'd actually speak when he had opportunity, Ephesians 6:19. Third, that God would open a door of opportunity for the message. It's in Colossians chapter 4. In other words, We don't have an equal amount of opportunity all the time. We actually need to pray and ask God to open a door of opportunity. Do you feel as though you never get opportunities? Maybe it's not just you. Maybe that's actually something real. There aren't that many opportunities for you right now. And maybe that's a prayer you want to contemplate and pray that God would open a door of opportunity for the message where you are. Fourth, that through Paul, the word of God would spread rapidly and be believed. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Do you find yourself thinking that if the gospel is going to go ahead at all, if anyone's actually going to hear it and be saved, it could only be very slowly and only a very small number of people? I think that's a real temptation for us in the West today, to think that God's not going to work very much, if at all. And that's why that prayer's there, that the word of God would spread rapidly and be believed. And finally, for people in all sectors of society, for the peace of the church and the salvation of many. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we need to understand that these prayers have been recorded for our benefit. They're here in the Bible for us to imitate and pray today. So what would happen if we started praying like this today? About a month ago, I wrote a blog post with a prayer that weaves together these themes. And I encourage you to go back and have a look at that via the Sundays at 6 Facebook group. That's just one example of how these prayer priorities of Paul for the ministry of evangelism, how they can be woven together into one single prayer. It's not a verbose prayer, it's not full of jargon, and it's something that you could just have on your daily prayer list and pray once. It's something that you could have on your growth group's prayer list and just ensure that you pray that together once each week. And if we do that, and if we actually believe, we actually trust that God will work as we pray, God will do amazing things. Now, you might notice that Paul's prayers don't specifically mention individual people. Most of the praying that Paul shares with us in the New Testament isn't for particular individuals. It's for whole churches. And it's for the spread of the gospel around the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for our family and our close friends individually. We should. But the beauty of Paul's mode of praying is that it doesn't decide in advance how God should act and who he should act upon, but it focuses on our capacity and our willingness to share the gospel, and it encourages us to then be on the lookout for how God might be working in any number of people on our front lines. And so I want to encourage you to be praying for your family and your close friends who don't know Jesus, absolutely. But I want to encourage you to pray like Paul too. Pray these big expansive things. Pray for your own preparation, clarity, boldness, opportunity, the rapid spread of the word, and for all people. And I want you to keep an eye out for how God starts to use your prayers with the people you might least expect, the people perhaps you don't even know yet. So this is the first aspect of preparation, prayer. The second aspect of preparation I want to talk about tonight is simply this, showing an interest in other people. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? Obvious. But unfortunately, we as Christians tend to get into these enclaves where the only other people we mix with, outside of formal work context perhaps, outside of school or university, places we just kind of have to go, the only people we mix with are other Christians. And so we don't actually spend much time with people outside of the actual daily grind, except for other Christians. And our relationships with many people out there in the world are quite transactional for that reason. We don't really have much of a personal rapport, perhaps, with that many people, except for those at church. If we want to be well-prepared messengers of the gospel, we need to, for one thing, we need to create spaces where we're actually able to enjoy the company of people who are not Christians on a regular basis, and where we're looking for opportunities to help them in a whole range of ways when need arises. In other words, being like a normal human being, part of society, mixing and mingling with a whole range of people with an attitude of generosity of spirit towards them. We actually need to be cultivating this more as a Christian community. You see, when you're young, supposing you're a teenager here tonight, just supposing you're a teenager, right? Just for a moment. The church will organise this kind of social space for you. So, for example, you go to Pulse, and Pulse has wide nights. And the wide nights are designed so that you can invite your friends to come to youth group. Now, when you turn 18, you leave school, and you become a young adult, what's the space? Where do you actually mix? What's that kind of context in which you can invite friends along just to a low-key event, like a wide night? The thing is that now that you're an adult, the church doesn't organise it for you. Now, sometimes people have come to me and said, you know, can we do more for the young adult community? Can we have maybe something like a Pulse wide night for the young adults? And I say to people, well, of course you can. If you want to organise a social event where you can invite your non-Christian friends, but it's less daunting for them than walking into a church, of course you can do that. But the thing is, you don't need me for that. And in fact, the less centralised these kinds of events are, the better. The easier they are to organise, the more low-key, low-maintenance they are, the better. Every individual can sit down with someone for coffee. It's not that hard. Every person can perhaps band together with a few others and create a social space for like-minded people who may not be religious, but might enjoy hanging out for a meal, a video game, a music concert, a footy match, anything at all, really. A few Christians can get together, pray about it, and just get on with it. There's really no need for a church event. This kind of thing should be happening all the time, spontaneously, prayerfully, whether one-to-one, whether in small groups, or just in bands of friends. Be prepared. Be prepared to be messengers of the gospel by getting out of the Christian enclave and intentionally spending time with your friends and acquaintances in low-key environments. It's not my role to organise that for you. It's our role, my role and your role, to be doing it regularly. And it's an important aspect of being prepared to be a messenger of the gospel. Now, if you want to step up that concept a bit, you could organise a slightly more formal event. You can invite 10 or 20 people together, perhaps have a meal, invite a speaker to leave a seminar or give a short talk on something topical, like what it means to be a Christian in the workplace, or perhaps a Christian view of personal finances, or perhaps something a little bit more theological, like a Christian response to suffering. It wouldn't be difficult to organise an event like this. It's still fairly low-key, a lower threshold perhaps to walk over for someone not used to the church community, a lower threshold than walking into a church service. The overall thing here is to create these environments where genuine social interaction can occur, where matters of faith can potentially be raised, though there's no pressure to do so, and where people experience something of the Christian community for themselves. Taking an interest in others and thinking creatively about engaging with them just on a human level is a crucial element of being prepared to be a messenger of the gospel. And it's not fundamentally about organising events either. I've mentioned a few things that you could do there. But fundamentally, this is about an attitude. This is about an orientation towards others. And I just want to read an example from Mark Green's book of a lady who just, in the context of her workplace, showed an interest very simply in other people. Anita used to work for a large company. And from time to time, as she walked the corridors, she'd walk past a colleague from another department whose name she did not know and whose job she could only guess at, and she'd smile. The other woman would smile in return. Occasionally, a little hello would accompany the smile, but they had no occasion to pause or chat, for both had work to do. And so time passed, counted in small smiles and little hellos. And so it was at the end of the day, like any other, Anita was walking to her car in the company car park, and there coming towards her was the woman. The woman stopped and they began to talk. And she told Anita that her child was chronically ill with asthma and eczema and that she wanted to leave her husband. Anita listened and asked if she could pray for her and if her small group could pray for her child. And the woman said yes. And Anita offered her a Bible from the box of Bibles in the boot of her car. And afterwards, Anita prayed. And her home group prayed. The child got a lot better. And the woman, who we shall call Sophia, did not leave her husband, but drew close to Christ and is now part of a local church. And it began with a smile. And I suspect that Anita smiled at lots of other people as she passed them in the corridor, just as naturally, just as warmly. She wasn't trying to develop a relationship, but she was open, aware of the other person, not self-absorbed. But it was only a smile, and somehow God worked through it to create the kind of trust that leads a woman in pain to share her life with a semi-stranger in the same office, to make herself vulnerable to rejection, to gossip, to humiliation. Now, of course, Anita was ready in all kinds of ways. She knew what to say. She had Bibles in her boot and a small group she could turn to for prayer. But what was the trigger for that remarkable encounter? A smile in a corridor. What a tremendous example that is of how that simple orientation of being interested in other people, even people that you may not be able to strike up a conversation with, even just a smile in the workplace, how God can use something like that to bring about transformation of a life. Well, that's the second aspect of preparation. We prepare by showing an interest in others, whether we organise a context in which we can do that more readily, or whether we just start by smiling at work. Thirdly and finally, we prepare to share. Prepare to share. And here I just have a few things by way of a pathway, if you like. It's very handy, for example, as Mark Green said earlier, to prepare a brief personal testimony of how you became a Christian. It need only be 100 words, 200 words. You work out the length. You just sit down and you ask yourself the question, how has God worked in my life? And you put it into your own words. But you write it down. You make yourself articulate it. Think about it. What has God done for me? How have I experienced the power of the gospel? Another thing you can write down is a brief explanation of the gospel itself. What is it that God has done for us? What is this message? And there are so many examples of that. For example, you could go to our church website and on the homepage, you'll notice a Jesus tab. You click on that and it will take you to a simple, straightforward outline of the gospel. And you could just start by memorizing that or rewriting that, better still, rewriting that in your own words. And there are many other things such as the Two Ways to Live tracts and other options that you can find. There's no single outline to the gospel. There are many different ways you can outline the gospel. But to actually have one that you have thought through and written down and imbibed and memorized will dramatically increase your preparedness to share the gospel with others. Are you ready to invite somebody to church? This is another one. Have you thought about what might be involved in just simply inviting somebody to church? Who you might invite? Have you looked through the prospective preaching weeks to think, well, hang on, there's a week here on this topic. I think my friend might be interested in that. I'll invite them along for that week. Have you thought about how they'll get there? Will you pick them up? What you might do after the service, you'll introduce them to, chat to, maybe go out for dinner, have a coffee later on at a later date to talk about how they found church. The thing is that here is a process that you can think about and you can actually write down. You can be prepared to invite somebody to church. There's a guy called Michael Harvey who wrote The 12 Steps of Overcoming the Habit of Being an Uninviting Church. And I have his book on my shelf. And if you're interested, it is actually a reference to the Alcoholics Anonymous 12 Steps. That was just kind of a little tongue-in-cheek joke he did. 12 Steps of Overcoming the Habit of Being an Uninviting Church. And the 12 steps are very simple. It's not rocket science, and yet if we're not prepared, perhaps we'll miss some opportunities. Would you know a good book to recommend to someone who might be interested in matters of faith? Could you actually go down to Koorong and actually get a copy of, well, what might it be? Reason for God by Tim Keller, for example. There are shelves and shelves of wonderful books, some of them high level, some of them very, very simple, that you could have on hand, like Anita had in the boot of her car, Bibles, books to give away when opportunity arises. These are some of the ways that we can be prepared to share. Are you aware of the short courses that are available? Most of you will know about Alpha. Did you know that Student Alpha is available for free on YouTube? You could just sit down over a coffee with a friend and you could just do a few sessions of Alpha together. Christianity Explored, or the young adult version, Soul. In fact, they're coming out with another version later this year called Life Explored, which is an updated version, more suitable perhaps for people with the objections and challenges of the 21st century. All of these things are freely available. Right here in Blackburn at Koorong, you can get copies of this stuff. It's all online. You get a book depository, Good Book Company. It's all there. Are you prepared? Have you thought it through? The thing is, brothers and sisters, you don't need me for any of this. It's all there. You don't need a member of staff to kickstart this. You can do it on your own. You can do it in small groups. You can band together. The point here is, are we prepared to give an answer? Are we prepared to be messengers of the gospel? And if we're not, what's the obstacle that we face? What is the obstacle that you face? No obstacles are insurmountable. Remember, leave the actual opportunities, leave the outcome in God's hands. This is just about preparation, like for an exam. You can't guarantee the outcome, but you can be prepared. You can't guarantee that you'll win the match, but you can be prepared. Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is your work. And we tend to waver between these two extremes of taking it all into our own hands and feeling unnecessarily guilty and thinking that nothing's going to happen because we're not prepared. And then there's the other extreme of thinking, well, God will do it, I don't have to bother. And what we want to do tonight, Father, is we want to thank you that it is your work, but also thank you for the privilege of being involved in it. And we know that you've gifted each one of us differently. Some of us might be the next Billy Graham, and some of us might be someone who can just give someone a Bible or invite someone to church. But wherever our gifts lie, we ask that you would equip every person here to be a messenger of the gospel. We pray that we would believe the message ourselves and that having our lives changed and our hearts warmed, filled with your love, that we would go out and share that with others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.